Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I have the Bad Boys with me. Simon Street, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How's everybody doing?
Good. We also got King Lucky.
It's King Lucky.
And we have Matt Michaels. What's up?
You think I'm cute? You think I'm sexy?
There you go. You gonna do the rest of it?
You're just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I am your boy toy.
That sounded really good. I think y'all should do like a track.
Awesome. So let's get right into it. There has been a lot of wrestling that has happened between last Monday's Raw to this Monday's Raw, not including what is happening here in town in Vegas with Quintessentials. We have
Quintessential Wrestling.
I'm sorry.
Quintessential Pro Wrestling.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. Because Quintessential is actually a sex store in Las Vegas. So you got to make sure.
Shout out to Quintessential Sex Store in Las Vegas. If you are in the Vegas area and you're looking for all your sexual needs, dildos, vibrators, and nipple clamps, please go to Quintessential Sex Store located in Las Vegas.
And you can be a sponsor too. So we keep it going. ROH had their 17th. Anniversary show here at Sam's Town, and that was exciting. We'll talk about that. FSW also had a show here. So lots of wrestling going on. We'll kick it off first with what happened with Raw last week. To start that off, Batista, Triple H. What do you guys say about that?
Give me what I want!
Basically, that's it.
Give me what I want.
I mean, yeah.
I've only got three words. I am Groot.
Well, also, too, did he say that to, like, freaking Disney the whole time?
Oh, give me what I want!
Well, and apparently
and James
worked,
Gunn is now, because James Gunn's back on. Yeah. He's back on.
So Guardians awesome. 3. Shit. He had a lot of support. But, Raw. So, I thought the promo was, it was going well, right?
And then it slowed.
And then it just went too long, and there was too many, give me what I want!
But overall, it had the Guardians of the Indie scene, though.
Overall, it had a lot of bite in the promo that they ran.
What do you think about a Triple H kind of jab at the indie security guards that was protecting him?
I think lately WWE has kind of pulled back the curtain a lot, and they've kind of made it more interesting for a Smarks in Smarkville.
Ah,
so you mean your kingdom?
My kingdom. That's your right. Kingdom. That's right.
You know, there's a song that they sing in your kingdom. Did you know that song? It goes la 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 la. Sing a Smarky song.
King of the Smarks.
That's King right. of the Smarks. Lucky.
Yeah.
Well, this is definitely going to be a match that everyone's going to be looking towards seeing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it has to be no holds barred.
That's why
they had to do it because who the fuck wants to see it otherwise? These guys got to fucking beat the shit out of each other.
By the way, can Triple H finally lose at a Mania?
Ooh. That's a good question.
I think.
What do you mean? Finally, lose at Mania?
Before.
He lost to the Undertaker three fucking times.
Yeah, good. And so he can lose to Batista as well.
Why do you hate Triple H?
It's not the fact I hate Triple H. It's just that he has to win at some of the most important matches at Mania.
Well, the only thing he wins is
Sting.
That really doesn't kind of count.
Well, I don't care.
Who cares?
He shouldn't have won that match.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you very much.
Come on.
Okay, so time out. Your ass hurt, not butt hurt, ass hurt, because your boys didn't win at that Mania? Is that what? Is that?
Well, I'm not saying I'm hurt. I'm just saying I didn't think Triple H had any reason to win that match.
Yeah,
what was the purpose?
No reason to win that match. I could give you three. All right, Paul Nash and Hogan.
Yeah.
I thought that angle was pretty good, but they
I give him props for walking down the ramp without breaking a hip or anything.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy. You're talking about a guy
Sorry,
who
guys.
Came in to essentially do one fucking match. Come on.
Okay.
Get All over right. it.
All right. So who wins?
Who wins? With Batista H? Triple yeah. H?
Batista wins. That's my vote.
You know what? I'm going to say I'd like Batista to win, but I have a feeling that Triple H is going to win because you could do more with a win like that.
It's time to play the game.
But again, this is logical. That doesn't mean it's going to happen.
It doesn't matter who wins.
Okay.
Because neither of them wrestle for the fucking company.
That's true.
So it doesn't fucking matter. So, well, you know, who cares?
So suffice to say, Michaels is not going to be watching that match. He'll probably break.
Michaels is going to be watching the match, but I'm watching the match for the guys to just beat the shit out of each other because it's no holds barred. That's it. I want to see blood. I want to see it fucking crazy. If there's not, then it fails in my book because no one has any reason to win or lose the match. True. There's no buildup or story, essentially.
There's nothing to gain.
Right. They hinted towards it months ago. Hunter gets hurt. And then you get him healed enough to come back. And now it's like, where does it all of a sudden the build is 2 weeks and I want the match. And, you know, the only thing I would say would save it is if Flair comes out and screws Hunter.
Oh,
that's it.
Well, we know how that's going to be because if Flair comes out, what's going to happen is he's probably just going to do a low blow.
Right.
Well, Flair would probably take an hour to get to the ring, so the match
probably.
Would be over.
He'll have you flying on a mechanical dragon.
If the ramp looks anything like Orlando or last year, it will take a while for him to get there.
Yeah, you just have him under the ring. For the whole time.
Like basically. Basically.
That's awesome.
Speaking about old men... Kurt Angle finally fucking retiring. Thank you, Kurt.
Oh, no. Kurt, come on.
Hold on. The word is officially retiring.
I do not want to see Kurt retire. Furthermore, I do not want to see Baron Corbin in his final match. Why?
Okay, here we go.
Time out. I would love to see Baron Corbin in his fucking final match. Hold on. Let me pause for 2 seconds. Mr. Two Pregnant Pauses Close to a Vegetable with his promos.
Okay, so let's get at this. You motherfucking flip-flopping piece of mark.
Damn, that's
oh,
like...
Baron Corbin. I love Baron Corbin. He's fucking good. He's good. I don't want to see him wrestle Kurt Angle. Holy fuck, dude.
So I don't want to see... Listen... I've stated before that I actually like Baron Corbin's work, right?
What is his work?
But his work should not be against Kurt Angle at WrestleMania.
Then who should his work be?
Yeah, you mean...
Who should his work be against?
No, let me tell you.
You're not going to make the guy at WrestleMania?
Why make him?
Because he's on the fucking roster!
You don't need to make Baron Corbin. Vince is going to do that. That's why he's in the match, because Vince is going to make him. But I would
make
have
him
liked
do what?
To see...
Make him do what?
Oh, he's going to make him, bro.
Make him what? Into
just
what?
Like he made Drew over the last 3 weeks.
No, he didn't make Drew. He didn't make Drew.
You
did
sure?
not make Drew.
He beat didn't make all of the Shield.
I know, but my point is you're taking an opportunity with someone who's already building. Let's just be honest
Angle's
and say it like it is.
Angle's not going to be there anymore.
Exactly. But Baron Corbin is damn near on life support.
So the astounding boos when it was Baron Corbin that was announced. The universe wants somebody else.
Fuck the universe!
Ooh.
The astounding boos is exactly what the motherfucker needs.
All right.
In other words, I agree with Michaels. Where he is right now as, oh, fuck, here comes Corbin, that's the best it's going to get for right now.
Okay.
So if you bring him in Mania, just so we're like, fucking get this motherfucker off. What the fuck? Because that's his character right now.
Well,
he's a fucking ass.
I guess if you look at it, that if that's the case, then Corbin should beat him at his last match, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And he should beat him really fucking solidly.
I mean, based on what they're saying, that's what should happen at the end then.
I just feel like, I'll be honest with you, in the last 6 months, I feel like Vince has just botched Kurt Angle's coming home party, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy can't wrestle anymore.
He's got a little bit in the tank
oh,
there. But
fuck.
Why do you have Drew McIntyre just
Destroy him, motherfuckers?
Totally destroy him.
Because
he
already...
He doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Drew is already established. Baron is not. I don't like Baron Corbin, and I'm telling you, this is the way to fucking do it.
I guess. Impact, you think Corbin's winning this one?
Oh, I don't think he should win. Uh-oh. I do like Corbin.
We didn't say what you think. What do you think he is going to win?
Chances are he's gonna lose to Kurt. Mm. But if it's the other way around, I'm totally okay with that because I can buy that. I can see Kurt losing that match, and as you know, he's gonna get the big praise either way, and he's gonna even get a bigger praise if he takes that loss. And I guess that should build Corbin up a little bit as well. But I'll be happy either way. But I don't know. I can see maybe Kurt pulling it off.
Shawn Michaels' last match, lost. Ric Flair's last match, lost.
That's true. That's the whole purpose of the match.
The last match.
Is you get beat by someone, most times, that admires you. In this case, it's someone that you despise.
Okay, so here's where I would like to see the match go. I would have liked to see Kurt.
Can we get some fucking trumpets? Can we get some trumpets? Hear ye, hear ye.
I would have liked
all
to see.
All citizens of Smarkville, thy king Lucky is going to say something to the masses.
I love it. Okay. I love it. I would have preferred to see John Cena and Angle.
Fuck. My dick just got very, very, very limp off of that. Is that the best you can dig out the bag of Smarkville?
Man.
But tell them why you say that.
First match in the WWE, right?
Right.
So John Cena faces who? Kurt Angle. It ties a bow around this whole thing. And that's to...
Around what fucking whole thing?
His career.
Why does John Cena tie a fucking bow?
I think it's a better match. Hands down.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I can tell you right now.
You've been a wrestling fan for how fucking long?
All my life.
Oh, shots.
We're talking shots. Decades.
Shots, ladies and gentlemen. Shots. Shots. All I'm merely saying is I hope John Cena is good as tying a knot on the bow that you speak of as he is with tying the knot with Nikki Bella. Because we know that shit didn't work.
Well, we know that didn't work, but...
Well, let's jump over into something because I know you're going to end up having to take off just a little bit.
Yes, I am.
Simon Street. So, Quintessential Pro Wrestling, you and Matt Michaels went to this event in Las Vegas. Tell us about this experience at the show.
It was, you know, we went into it and we didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, after watching the first couple of matches, I was very impressed with the booking the way it was. The atmosphere was good. The pace of the matches seemed right. Okay. And there was a couple standout matches that I really just thoroughly enjoyed.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, you know.
Stop being vague. Get to it.
I'm getting there. I'm trying to fucking build. I would have never thought in my wildest dreams I would see someone win a match by throwing up on a dick.
Oh.
Not visually like I just said it, but it was put that way. And man, I was just fairly interchanged. But if you want more of an intellectual explanation of what we saw, Matt Michaels, please take it away.
Oh, no. Dick getting puked on is very intellectual. So, no, you know
what? It involves brain.
First off, this was our first experience with the Voros twins.
Yes.
Mm. Chris and Patrick from Vancouver. Get ready, guys, because we will be having them on at some point here. If you don't know who they are, look them up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, without a doubt, one of the best working heel tag teams because they are twins and they get natural heat.
Yes.
Very natural heat. It's wonderful. Please look up the Voros twins online. That was our introduction to them. We luckily got to see them also wrestle at Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
So keep your eyes peeled on the Ring of Honor television. They'll be taking on the beer bouncers. The Quintessential Pro Wrestling, Allie Parker is a wonderful champion.
Yep.
Very, very, very good in the ring. Very good at telling a story. Then, you know what? You can't go wrong when you get to see any of the Rascals. This weekend, we got to see all of them at different points. Trey worked his ass off. We got to see Trey wrestle two matches at Quintessential. He would, you know, the guy is just phenomenal. It's amazing. He works his ass off.
Yeah.
Dez did a tag team match with them. Dez and Trey are great. They went against Reno Scum. Yep. Reno Scum is one of the best working tag teams out there. Mm-hmm. We got to see them take on the Beer Balancers as well at ROH tapings. So look for that on TV.
Also, too, you're forgetting about one person. Chris Bey.
Yep.
Chris Bey. Lot of action.
Chris worked that match with Trey. Mm-hmm. Which they could have gone easily 60 minutes.
Wow.
Easily.
It was, I mean, they're just so fluent and so good. Chris, we saw at Ring of Honor, at FSW.
The whole week?
The whole week.
I mean, yeah.
The same with the Rascals.
Miguel, yeah. I mean, and sorry to cut you off, but what was really cool is even at FSW, you know, he actually had a really great match with Johnny Impact and Teddy Hart. I mean, he just fits perfectly. And I've heard some people say it in the crowd, definitely WWE bound, WWE material. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, the mark
he's
over here
end up on
probably
205,
won't watch him once he gets to 205. But, you know, I can definitely say that he has the stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have not had a chance to see Chris Bey, he is the FSW champion. Get an opportunity. Go out there, see FSW. You know, he's fantastic.
And you can look up the Dashing Chris Bey on social media, and you'll probably recognize Chris from a little video that was put out this past week where he was in the ring and doing some training, and the ring ropes gave on him. So you know this guy probably even virally, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And then a shout goes out to one of my favorites, Filthy Tom Lawler. Tom Lawler, if you haven't watched his UFC career and then transitioning into wrestling, you're missing out. Tom is one of the most entertaining guys, and he is one of those guys to not go over in this match. And yet, I mean, he still shined like a star.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And he can do that. He doesn't need to, you know, go over and win all the time. That's the amazing thing about Tom.
What was the main event?
It was Tom. It was Tom. Yeah, it was Filthy Tom Lawler.
Okay.
And he took on Barnett.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that actually was a good match. And there's something that I will point out, because I had a chance to talk to a couple of my UFC buddies who really routinely don't watch wrestling at all, and they said that they would actually be cool with having a couple of wrestling matches and then having a couple of mixed martial art matches. They said just something about those being paired together is quite entertaining, and you know, I never really thought to bring that up to them, but with this show, you know, of course the main event was mixed martial arts style type match. Mm-hmm. And I just noticed the crowd. There was a lot of people in there that I can tell they did not watch any type of UFC, mixed martial arts, Bellator, anything like that. And they were getting into it. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if they do it anywhere else in the U.S., but it seems like Quintessential has, you know, got a good little impact going on. And I can't wait for the next show. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm actually quite excited.
Well, that's pretty exciting. ROH was also this weekend, 17th anniversary show at Sam's Town. I was there with the rest of you all. Great matches.
Wait, with the rest of us all, or with two of the rest of us?
The two of us, the rest of us, because from what we know is, you know, apparently Smarks aren't really into ROH.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm messing with you, man.
I'm in ROH. It's just a long
He
week.
Was busy.
Yeah.
Dictating the folks in the Smarks in Smarkville.
Yeah, I was on assignment. That's what it was.
Well, so the Cobb versus Shane Taylor match was
that stole
awesome
the
match.
Shout out to Mr. Cobb, did the show with us.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're looking forward to getting Shane on.
That's true.
I would like to get both of them on at the same time and hear them go back and forth. Because, I mean, yeah, Shane Taylor is really, really entertaining to watch. And I will be honest with you. I really didn't hone in on him when I watched the show all the time. But seeing him live definitely kind of helped me now gravitate a little bit more to him. I like his swagger. I like the way he walks out. Oh, sorry, that's my alarm for me to go.
Jesus, oh. I thought we were all going to get our asses kicked in a second.
Never.
By God, don't do it.
It's never a dull day for the Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. All of us are wrestling fans. Even our alarms are wrestling fans.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, awesome. That was an awesome match. Let's go to another match that was there. Your alarm just threw us all off there.
That was awesome.
We got a chance to see Jay Lethal and Taven go off into a match.
It was a Broadway.
It was.
A full hour.
Yeah.
With no decision. It was beautiful.
It was.
Classic match. Definitely will be a Ring of Honor. How to do the flashbacks. Ring of Honor memories, I think it is. What are they entitled at? They show it all the time on the show. They do kickbacks. What?
Shaking again, the show is confused. Impact does that.
No, ROH does that as well. Oh, I can show you right now on the goddamn on YouTube. They have them all the time. Well, for everybody that watches ROH on YouTube and can't afford to be able to watch them live, I seem
can't
to always
afford.
Find it.
It's on fucking regular TV.
I don't have regular TV.
Oh, my God. So then how do you watch TV?
I don't stream. That's all I do.
Do you pay for your streaming?
Do I pay for it? No.
Oh. Okay. Well, there you go.
I'm just saying, man. Shit.
Okay.
There you go.
Let me jump to the next. Briscoes and PCO. Brody, what do you think about? We got new tag team champs. What do y'all think? PCO.
Finally.
Yeah.
51 years old.
Yeah.
Going into the garden as a champion and, spoiler alert, double champion. Because of the TV tapings, there was a three-man tag between the Kingdom and Villain Inc.
Yep.
Villain Inc.
It's actually Villain Inc. Enterprises. You can't leave out the Enterprise.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I missed that when I was watching my fucking Ring of Honor flashback highlights.
Oh, shit. Oh, I'm sorry. You can dish it, but can't take it. Okay, I got you. I got you.
I'm sorry. Did the Undertaker just call you?
He did. Tell me, rest in peace, motherfucker. See you at Starcade.
Starcade? Starcade?
That's not Starcade. What is it called?
Starcast.
Starcade. Oh, I'm sorry. Shit. Can't be right for being right. Fuck. Anyways.
No, you're doing all those flashbacks to your WCW programs that you watch, too.
That probably should. Hey, it is what it is. I make mistakes. I'm human. Well,
and one person who's not human is PC fucking O, man.
I was just about to say that. He took every bit of it. I mean, like, God damn, did they make him earn them goddamn titles?
For everyone out there listening, right now, Lucky is watching.
He's watching tentacle porn.
Yeah, this is really fucked up, man.
Are you really watching tentacle porn?
No.
What the fuck are you watching, man?
It's, yeah. All right, let me read the title for you guys.
No.
Dude, there's tentacles on there.
Why are you eating chitlins? Which I don't
eat. Okay. So, anyway. And FSW was the Sunday night show. It was Mecca. You can catch FSW on Fight. FITE, Fight TV. And, you know, talking about a good show from top to bottom, they did it as well. Mm-hmm. You had Heather Monroe, who was also, she did Quintessential Pro Wrestling. She wrestled on that card in a three-way dance with Delilah Doom.
Oh, okay.
And
big fan of Delilah Doom.
Yeah, Delilah's amazing. And Christina Von Erie, who is just, if you love punk, you know, just like Delilah, if you love the 80s, if you love punk, Christina Von Erie is your girl. But Heather Monroe is one hell of a great talent.
Yeah.
Not only is she gorgeous, but she played at Quintessential Pro Wrestling, a quintessential heel. She played the beautiful chicken shit heel.
Okay.
Who stole the match by pinning Von Erie. And then she shows up on FSW in a match with, was it Sway there? And Taya.
And Taya Valkyrie.
Taya Valkyrie. Yeah. And it was for a three-way dance with an intergender.
Yeah.
It was fucking solid, man.
And she looked very comfortable, which I think is worth stating.
Yeah. She looked very comfortable, and Taya looked amazing, and they put it together wonderfully. It was really good. You also, in the main event, got to see, like you said, a three-way dance between Teddy and Morrison and Chris Bay, as well as a surprise entry of Killer Cross back to FSW.
Came back home.
Nice.
Yep, and just destroyed the fuck out of Teddy and Bay. Him and Morrison took them on. It looks like they're setting up for a future showdown between the two tag teams there. Yeah.
Okay.
He damn near was about to beat the shit out of the damn trophy, the Mecha Trophy. Yeah,
they almost destroyed the Mecha Trophy, dude. And we got to see Trey Miguel was walked out to the ring by Santana Jackson.
Yep.
Yes.
And Santana got an opportunity to, after the match, got called into the ring by one Disco fucking Inferno.
Nice.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now,
wow.
Glenn is... The guy's got no ego right now because talk about putting things over, man. Santana got to do that moonwalk DDT on Glenn's ass, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful.
I could have saw that.
We knew you were going to say that. Yeah. I think that was the first thing we said is like, man,
yeah,
Impact's going to be upset.
You know, we got to see Bruno Scum, and Wentz was on this tagging with Dez. They did a triple threat with the tag champs there, the 1%. So all in all, again, if you're in Vegas and you're looking for wrestling, this is the place to be, bro.
It's here.
Plain awesome. Simple. Well, it looks like you're going to have to get out of here.
It's time for me to go.
No doubt. We'll hold the fort down.
Ain't nobody going to sit in this goddamn chair, man. What you over here trying to paint an invisible picture? Who the fuck's going to sit here?
It's all good.
All right, brothers. As usual, peace, love, and... next time I go visit you in Smorkville, man, I want that penthouse suite, all right? All right? The one with all of you taking pictures with everybody and their fucking mama.
Yeah, I'm a mark. I gotta get the pictures in.
But we love
memories.
You, though. All right, y'all. Deuces. Hair grease. Late.
We got rid of Simon Street, so we now can take care of the people's business, which is a lot of thanks that we want to give out to a lot of the shows and... event we participated in. So I'm going to leave it up to you, Matt Michaels, to give that thanks out.
All right, let's start with SamstownLV.com.
Yes.
Samstown Casino hosted Ring of Honor FSW this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. They're always great hosts. The ushers there, fabulous.
Yes.
They were able to help me out. We got a bad back. They moved me to a chair on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they go out of their way to help you out. Definitely support them if you're in town or planning a trip to Las Vegas. Again, look at samstownlv.com. Also, someone who goes to all these events, Terry Nielsen.
Mm-hmm.
She is the LV sign chick. If you check her out on Twitter or Instagram, she's done over 13,000 signs and counting.
Wow.
And all the signs that you'll see, you know, popping up around the country, she does those by hand and mails those out to the venues so that those are there. And she's a fascinating person. We'll probably have her on for a little bit, you know, at some point on the show.
Cool.
Just to kind of tell us about, you know, how the hell you get to be someone who sends signs across the country. It's amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
The Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Yes.
Let me tell you, we're so proud. They finally got ties going again with Impact Wrestling for development and training territory, which is going to be great. That March 2nd show that they had, which was the Clash in the Bluegrass.
Right.
It did so well. Impact was very impressed with it. Not DJ Impact, but actual Impact Wrestling.
Right.
It got, a deal done with Al and OVW. And, again, check them out at OVWrestling.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now, I believe it's $4.99 a month. Look at the website.
Okay.
But you can actually get OVW product by just signing up.
Nice.
$4.99 a month, I believe.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's great. And, of course, with Al Snow, Can't say enough about the collarandelbowbrand.com. That clothing line is just spectacular. And again, please go to it, support it. Use that 10% off code, Snowman.
That's right.
Get some cash in your pocket back.
I've actually got a couple of shirts on the way. I'm excited.
Look at that. Look at that. You're going to be stylish and tough.
That's right.
Love it. Shout out to the Trophy Emporium. Go to trophyemporium4awards.com, and that's the letter four, trophyemporium4awards.com.
Okay.
They are a friend of the show. They do great work if you're looking for trophies, any kind of engravings for special occasions, mm-hmm. Anything to promote your business. We use them. And they're out of Northridge, California. Now you can look them up again on the website, and you can order directly from them. Great products there.
Awesome.
Also, locally here in Henderson, if you go to the Galleria Mall in Henderson,
mm-hmm.
Power Play Sports Cards.
Yes.
I got to meet Scott Hosey this past weekend at FSW.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow our Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, you'll see that I pulled a one-of-one autographed Undertaker
card. How lucky are you?
Yeah, it was crazy, dude. And in all these years, 30-plus years of collecting cards, never got anything that spectacular.
Right.
And, you know, you can get really good stuff. He does a lot of signings in the mall with wrestlers if you're here locally. If you're across the country or overseas, look into the website.
Yeah.
And just look up Power Play Sports Cards and definitely check them out. Lingerie Fighting Championship.
Ah.
Yes. We are going to be there covering what is the LFC's 26. LFC 26. It's called Booty Camp.
Ah.
Yes, man.
There you go.
It's going to be awesome. April 4th, 8 p.m.
Oh.
It's going to be hosted at The Nerd, which is 450 Fremont Street here in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Or you can catch it streaming live on YouTube Live or just check it out on lingeriefc.com. That's lingeriefc.com.
Do I need to convert any 20s into ones? I'm just asking. You never know, right?
You know, it's always a good idea here in Vegas to convert those 20s into ones because you never know what you're going to end up in the end of the night.
Right.
And if you want to check out The Nerd, again, it's www.thenerd.com. They do different, you know, activities there.
Yeah.
It's a great little place. Mm-hmm. There is definitely getting more of an action there with wrestling and UFC. So, but definitely check out Lingerie Fighting Championship, LFC 26 Booty Camp. Allie Parker is on that card.
Nice.
She is one hell of a wrestler.
Yes.
And is, you know, part of Quintessential Pro Wrestling as
well. That's right, yes.
And here we go. Big announcement here.
Here we go.
B. Brian Blair.
Right.
He is one half of the Killer Bees and current president of Cauliflower Alley Club.
That's right.
And he'll be our guest on Sunday the 24th. We'll be putting out an episode where you can catch B. Brian Blair tell different stories, some of which that you might have heard before, but a lot of interesting stuff that he touches on that, you know, you might not have known. Good stuff about, you know, if you want to hear stories about Bruiser Brody, Andre the Giant,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Von Erichs, just fascinating stuff that I've never known before. Also, good stuff about Cauliflower Alley Club and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is coming up at the end of April. So we encourage you to look, you know, to Cauliflower Alley Club, look them up, and try to get tickets now because it supports everything goes straight to the charity. And it's a very important cause.
It is.
And last but not least, big Sunday the 31st, we're gonna have an episode up with Vicky Guerrero. And Vicky will go into things, stories that I've never heard before.
That's
about her life, you know, what's going on currently, stories about Eddie. And one of the big things she is involved with now is the Harris County Animal Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You go to countypets.com if you're in Houston or if you're looking for a good charitable cause. they're definitely something to support. Also, you can go to VickiGuerrero.net for appearance listings for her. You can get autographs and exclusive items through the website. Same with B. Brian Blair. You can go to KillerBees.net and actually order autograph stuff, including Killer Bee masks, which is pretty freaking awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, there's so much going on right now with, you know, AEW Double or Nothing coming this way.
Yes.
And the biggest announcement of all, we will be the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting at StarCast.
Boom.
Now, we will not be broadcasting live from StarCast. However, if you want to get to know us, if you want to tell your friends, stop by. It's a good chance to meet us and talk to us and get to word out that the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting are here and we ain't going away.
That's right. It's going to be awesome times and good times. We also want to remind you that there are different platforms that you can listen to us on. Apple has their podcast. Google has Play Music. We're also on iHeart Radio Podcast and Spotify. So all you have to do is search Vegas Bad Boys with a Z, and we should pop right up. Hit the subscribe button, and shouldn't have to worry about receiving any of the latest episodes that we put out.
And definitely subscribe and download, because that's how we know that you guys are listening. If not, we are literally four guys sitting around a table talking to ourselves.
That is true. That is true. Our social media sites, always Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Of course, you can always just search us, Vegas Bad Boys. Again, what is he? And you will find all this information we just put out on there, along with a lot of other good photos and information that we put out there on a daily and weekly basis. So we thank all of you for listening to us, as always. And any final words, Matt Michaels?
The big question is, will The Undertaker show up at WrestleMania or AEW?
Uh-oh.
Double or Nothing. Rest in peace.
Ponder that. And while you're pondering that, stay tuned for an interview we had pre-recorded with Matt Sydal and with our guest host, Raven.
Today's special guest is the one and only from St. Louis, Missouri, Mr. Matt Sydal. Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm grateful to be here.
We're grateful that you're here, too.
Same here, brother.
So, you are a very interesting character, person, not even a character. I think you're not even, it's just you. I think just to get everyone a little bit more comfortable on how I first, my first memory of meeting Matt Sydal was at WrestleMania Houston. I'm so lost on numbers and years. I don't remember what year that was. DJ, you were there. What year was that?
Houston. So that was in 16, right? No, it was 17.
Not 17. No. The second Houston.
The second Houston.
Oh, that was
25.
Yes. 25.
So I don't remember what year that was. But anyways,
great story.
It gets better. No, so there with DJ and our boy Marty Hill and a few other people. Oh, because at that time was when I was quote unquote hanging around with Amy Henning, and so we go to a establishment. I guess it was like a restaurant or something, but there was drinks flowing and everything, and run into Matt, and one thing led to another. Met his great friend Mikey Gordon, who's doing a lot of great stuff in San Diego right now. And all I can mainly remember about that night was walking back with Matt and all of us together from the restaurant to the hotel,
and there was a water fountain there.
That was the one you fell in.
Yes.
I remember that.
I, for some reason, took a tremendous bump into the water fountain, soaking wet, walking into the hotel, which is where the TV hotel was for WrestleMania that weekend. And my friend Marty, you know, was chopping it up with Matt later, and Matt invited us up to his room, but when we got to the hotel, like, we split off for a second because I needed to change clothes and everything. And I meet up with Marty, and Marty's like, well, what room is Matt in? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, and at that time, you know, I'm like, he's Evan Bourne, but I'm sure his room's not under Evan Bourne. Mm-hmm. Marty's like, well, I checked in right behind him, and I heard what his last name was, so let's go to the hotel lobby desk and ask. And they gave us his room number, and we showed up. But ironically, I ran into Matt years before that, because Matt, you worked on a very unique project called Wrestling Society X, WSX. What'd you think about that project?
It was an attempt, it was what I would consider like a West Coast attempt at trying to get another show to catch. You know, it was kind of the first people who recognized the style of what I would call like a Dragon Gate style and its marketability. They were trying to put that on a big stage, and it was just a good swing, you know, a healthy try. I always admire people who are making jobs for the boys and getting the guys gigs and getting guys TV shows. And, you know, I've been lucky to be around like a lot of movers and shakers of wrestling since I began.
Do you think a promotion, the way it was produced and so on, could survive in this era of pro wrestling?
I mean, that doesn't even, like, can something from 10 years ago exist today? No, it's literally impossible. But what I would say is it's basically Lucha Underground now. You know, I mean, that would be the evolution of it. And obviously it's not only succeeded, it's been, like, incredibly successful, like, putting, you know, Lucha Libre in front of a big audience. And, you know, getting Rey Mysterio doing all these matches. I mean, there's a ton of great stuff that Lucha Underground's done, and I'm all for more products, more stuff on TV. Everybody says, oh, there's too much. But, I mean, if, you know, you're picking, you fast forward, I mean, there's not that much to watch.
That's very good point. Yeah. Very good point.
That's absolutely true. So, Matt, okay, you grew up in St. Louis. What influenced you in terms of, you know, I know that you did Greco-Roman, right?
I mean, I wrestled my in high school.
Okay. And were you, at that time, were you already a pro wrestling fan? Did you have any interest of getting into the business, or was there something else that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of the start. I mean, we did, like, the rent of VHS, because I didn't even have cable. To kind of get into, like, wrestling by, like, watching all the old Rumbles and watching just everything that was on VHS at Schnucks for a dollar. but, you know, I just never cared who won this or who, you know, I like the jobbers. I didn't care. But I did want to go, like, do the moves.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then basically my brother's friend worked at a golf club, and one of the other caddies had, like, a backyard wrestling federation. And they were awesome. Like, they weren't just kind of good. Like, they were awesome. Like, it blew my mind open. Like, oh, well, we could just do it. Like, it always said, don't try this at home before Raw. We sort of felt like we should play by the rules. And when I saw these kids doing it, I realized, no, I don't have to do that anymore. And I was like, we should definitely be doing this. And then I, like, just became obsessed with, you know, running my own backyard wrestling federation and then working with other local backyard wrestling federations in the St. Louis area. I mean, I was, you know, working for all the different local backyard feds before I worked the indie circuit, and I just could work my way up from there.
So you basically were doing interpromotional backyard wrestling in St. Louis, which is awesome, and that's a great, you know, segue into the parents. How did your parents react to you becoming part of this, you know, craziness that's backyard wrestling, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first ring I built was like a trampoline with some ropes tied to a tree in the deck. And then fine, you know, kind of harmless. The boys are just playing around. And then I like really dug in, and I started, with no actual plans, just kind of made my own ring. And then we ended up making two, because you know how things get damaged. And, yeah, made my own ring, and then you know just started imitating what I saw on TV. Really wanted to hit that Jerry Lynn RVD combo. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And you've achieved, you know, kind of that level in terms of your athleticism. It's something that's remarkable. Were you that athletic, or did it just come to you through just going through and just doing it?
No, I mean, the thing is everything is the result of the accumulation of every single thing you do. And so when I was a kid, I was always very active and heavily, just, you know, my parents had to keep me running to, you know, so that I could fall asleep at the end of the night. And so I got involved in like gymnastics when I was young. I got involved in taekwondo. Wow. And then when I joined the wrestling team, that's when I learned about hard work and lifting weights.
Yep.
And that's also the first time I ever saw people like gathered around a TV watching Monday Night Raw. Because I had never seen it live. I'd never seen it. And I was like, oh, that's wrestling. I'm wondering, that's interesting. And like basically at that wrestling camp, I hurt my knee. So I missed the next year's wrestling season. And that's when I started really digging into that backyard wrestling career. So yeah, I mean, basically since my sophomore year of high school, I was committed to it. I mean, I was committed to my education, you know, partially. And then through college, it started to wean as wrestling full time and going to school kind of was challenging.
Gotcha. Hey, Matt, Street, one thing that I wanted to kind of talk to you about, almost to paint a picture for anybody that's listening who may not follow your career or anything, you know, you've had an opportunity to really kind of wrestle with, you know, a lot of today's stars. I mean, you know, like AJ Styles, CM Punk, Chris Sabin. Do you have any stories, you know, way back before, you know, you debuted in WWE of what those experiences were, you know, the mind frame? Because you guys were all, you know, during that time hungry. You guys were all, you know, honing in on your crafts. You know, could you tell us some stories like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you just got to think. I was just this, like, wiener kid from Missouri. And I weaseled my way, like, just because in Missouri, I could work on a show anywhere for free. And the guys in Missouri, like, they were all, you know, typical local wrestlers, you know. It's, you know, kind of was the style at the time. And I was looking for more. And luckily, I had a wrestler named Delirious. It was also in the same organization that he wanted to branch out as well. We wanted to just, you know, find where the best wrestlers were and just be around those shows. Even if we didn't get booked, you know, we were just around it. And, you know, eventually we just got on the shows. And that's where, I mean, you know, I've known. So when people go to WWE and are successful or considered, you know, critically or commercially successful, I mean, for me, I knew that, you know, in 2003, I knew Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Bryan Danielson were the best wrestlers on the planet. Like, they still are. And those guys, like, intimidated me and inspired me and, like, forced me to, like, they allowed me to find a world-class standard that you couldn't find anywhere else.
Right.
That, you know, being on shows with those guys, it rounded out, like, there's just a difference in the class of competitor. It's like the first time I stepped in the ring with Jamie Noble, you know, I'll never forget it. He just ate me alive, and it had been a while since I'd been, you know, worked over like that. And but the amount of experience you get in that 1 second being in the ring with a guy who's world class, it helps you set your goals higher, helps you aim higher. And, you know, I just love being the worst guy on the show. I mean, I got to watch some of the best wrestling ever live. Through, I mean, I just think, you know, really intense. I'm sure you see me through the curtain sticking my head out. Like, I never watch the monitor. I always watch live. And I get to see the best wrestling all the time. I mean, man, I've seen some good ones.
Oh, that's an amazing experience, man. I mean, and definitely, too, it just, you know, I remember primarily seeing you when you debuted WWE. And that move you do up top rope, oh, my gosh, that's a thing of beauty, man. I remember seeing that, and I was just like, wow. But you looked, you know, from a perspective, you look so comfortable. Do you see what I'm saying? You look so
Well, I mean, it's just a very effective finishing. It's just a very effective move. I mean, like, I don't know. That's why they banned it in UFC. That's why guys aren't allowed to climb off the cage in UFC. It's so dangerous. And, you know, so I'm just lucky that WWE allowed me to do it. And, you know, luckily I never killed anybody. But, you know, I was just looking to win matches. And I'm not trying to kill anybody.
And so with that, you know, the high-flying style, the lucha styles, do you feel that, I mean, how is it every day on your body now? Are you feeling anything catch up with you, or is it something that, you know, do you still have that spirit of that 18-year-old kid in the backyard?
I mean, I was just thinking about how when I backyard wrestled, I went to this new fed that we had never met these kids. We, like, found them on an Angel Fire website. We rented out a YMCA. I climbed up to basketball and just on wrestling mats. I did a swanton off a basketball. And I didn't care that. I mean, I still don't care now. Like, none of us could step in the ring if we cared at all about our health and safety. Right. It's literally impossible. You get gun shy, you'd have to look away. I mean, it's just, it requires a certain mind state. And those of us who wrestle quite frequently sort of have a compulsion for it and a drive and a desire for it. And we'd miss getting hit if we weren't getting hit. And, and my body is fine. And what are you, like, please, this stuff's easy. If you're well-trained and you work hard, I mean, you're going to have a lengthy career without any injuries. I right now have just a small little thing going on. But I'll be back in no time. You know, this often happens. It's combat sports, but hey, you know, it's more. I think it's a mindset thing, and some people like a little bit of sympathy, and some people too proud to ask for any, and some people are in between.
Very good point. Very good point.
Speaking of combat sports, I know you're.
But let me say this. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pain matters and it's equal. And so, like, if you're hurting and you think, oh, well, I shouldn't be that bad, it's just my toe. And other people, well, no, it matters because it's you and your pain's real and it, like, it counts. And you should deal with it, not avoid it. Or not, like, try and compare it to other people's things because it's like they're all equal, you know?
Right.
speaking of combat sports, I know you're a big MMA fan, especially you with UFC going on and big Bellator shows. If there was one person in the MMA world that you would like to see cross over into pro wrestling, who would it be, male or female?
Shayna Baszler.
Besides the four that are there,
we girls are already killing it. Like, but I really think that the mentality and how about Matt Riddle? Oh my God, we don't need more guys. We just need this one who meets all the basic that you would say on the surface, the superficial things, but he also meets the intangible things. He has that. You know, I hate this. Oh, let's get these football players and these guys. It always boils down to who the individual is, and that's where the real rubber meets the road, as they say.
So I got another question for you, man. You know, obviously having the rigorous schedule, you know, of going town to town, you know, doing shows. What is your, it's kind of a two-part question. Number one, what is your things you do to relax, to kind of, you know, while you're traveling, whether you're driving or riding, whatever the case may be, flying. And then also, too, what are things that you do as far as pregame psychology before you get going? Is it something that comes easily for you, or is it something that you just always have done that gets you get you locked in and ready to do what you do best?
I mean, yeah, it's just usually I work myself up into a state of insanity before I go out and wrestle. I mean, it's basically the only way to do it.
All right.
You know, it's just, it's not a mind state. It's like that's what I mean. It's not a mind state. It's like a no mind state. That's like the best way for me to walk in there where I'm not like, I'm just in the moment, not thinking about it, anything forwards or backwards, or just being there and, you know, kind of just listening and hearing. And, you know, that's for me when I'm walking to the ranch. But one of the things I'm doing, you know, a lot of people are always looking around and worried about what their body is. Like, I'm like listening. That's sort of my perspective on it.
So you almost take it as an actor would approach their craft, where you like to observe and hear and just be totally in the aware. And go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I'm trying to have a calm center, but like you have to go insane also.
Right.
It's just kind of got to be in two places at once.
And then, so what gets you then, you know, because you hear stories about actors, you've gotten into roles, and then with that actor, you step away, you know, and you're able to detox, but sometimes it's hard to detox if you've, you know, been playing like a heroin addict or something, you know, something that you build up into. After you get back through the curtain, then how does that mindset now, how are you able to unwind it so you can get back to being regular Matt outside of, you know, the wrestling ring?
It's very easy, and this is why I do it, is because we leave it all out there. You leave it all in the ring. It's a symbolic act. You literally go out there, you fight to the death, and you die, and you just get to go to the back, and you feel fine. All the anxiety you had before the match, win or lose, who cares? Whatever happened, it's over, you know. And like, you know,
I don't know.
No, that's okay.
That's right. I mean, that's right on, and I think that's, you know, a beautiful thought. Leave it all out there, and, you know, you can still separate it.
So when you get to the back, all you want is a water to not die. Like, I mean, like, you guys got to understand, like, the goal, like, I mean, in every match, essentially, you're just going to fight until you have, the way I learned how to wrestle in Japan is that the match is over basically when one person is dead. And I don't know if you've noticed, that's sort of the style of wrestling that we all kind of aspire to do. And it's just like you put it all out there, and so when the match is over, but I'll be honest, you can come to the back, and that's when I can cut the best promo. Like, I loved being in New Japan. I loved, after a match, coming back and having four cameras in your face and somebody asking you a question, because you're fired up. You know, you're still in that moment, like, you're still there because, you know, the match is over, but even at three, it's like not really over. It's not really even over till you get to the back, till you're all the way behind the curtain. And then even then you get to the curtain and there's, you know, a presser crew right there with questions for you. And then, so you're still going. And so, I mean, you know, the show just don't end till late and we're already fired up. And so you end up staying up pretty late, just thinking about things and kicking yourself for, like, why did I throw the left kick? I should have thrown a right kick. You know, what am I doing? It's in the lead. Like, hey, I let him punch me right in the face. I should have moved. You know, it's just kind of replaying it in my head. And then hopefully the next day I've got a new match to worry about, and so I can forget about yesterday's.
That makes sense. So I got another question. I'm going to try and break it up just a little bit. What would you say in your career, while, you know, performing, was an oh shit moment, but turned out to work out just fine? Like you were like, oh shit, but, you know, it just all worked out and it synced perfectly together. Do you have like a moment like that?
Great question. My oh shit moment. I mean, I guess the most oh shit moment was when we had the fans pick the match via voting on like text messaging or something, and it was set up so that I would wrestle Sin Cara. And they put the presser votes in, and the votes came in like from Mason Ryan, who was like, you know, the C choice, but it was because they had been counting the votes from the previous anyway. They missed the mess of the tabulations, and I actually thought it was like a rib on me, but I mean they claimed it was an accident. But it was pretty funny because I was in there standing, you know, just standing in the ring waiting for somebody to come through on Monday Night Raw Live, you know, and expecting Sin Cara, you know, to be 90% Sin Cara. Here he comes, able to do the kind of stuff we had, you know, and Mason Ryan comes out and we just, well, you know, go do your business.
Oh, damn.
So in that, in a scenario like that, when it's off the cuff and on the fly, who calls it in the ring then?
I mean, if you want to know the honest truth, I don't really like telling too much about that stuff.
Yeah.
I just think it would ruin it. But basically, I told the ref to tell him two things.
Right.
And I'll tell you this. The first one, it seemed like the ref had communicated to him what I had asked him to communicate, because he was like selling my leg kicks really good, and we were kind of on a roll. And I was like, okay, he definitely told him on this one thing that I was just like, you know, I had one idea for myself, because I got a young baby face, you got to fight for every little bit.
Right.
And anyway, mm-hmm. So like I went for some drugs. It was just literally like on the fly, like looking at each other and like, you know, just being wrestlers. I mean, for me, like when I worked for Ian Rotten, we had lethal lottery every once in a while. You just go to the ring and they send somebody out there. Who cares? I mean, it's wrestling.
Yeah.
People are always worried about, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this character. The bottom line is, it's always in a ring. It's always wrestling. And so if you know, like, I mean, if you just lived on rings your entire life, like me and these guys, it's just like, all right, bring it on. Like, you know, I've had some of the best matches of my life. Like the first time I met Kevin Steen or El Generico or Phoenix, like the first time I meet these guys, it's just like, you just, you know, slap hands and go to town. It's just, you know, the guys that have the same mindset are really able to get on the same page and make some magic.
So Matt, you know, let's add to that question just a little bit. Cause it was something that we kind of discussed in a past podcast. I want to get your take on it. We were talking about, as kind of looking at how the universe or the fan base or wrestling fans are going, and how, what if they are given more choices? Now, obviously, back during that, you know, time that you just said, you know, some years back, right? But now, with the way social media is totally integrated and it's a lot faster on the turnaround, how would you feel if, you know, fans were given more power toward, or maybe a percentage toward an outcome? And obviously, with, you know, how professional y'all are and knowing your way around these ropes, do you think that's something that could possibly work out, obviously, if they fine-tuned it?
I stopped listening to your question halfway through.
Oh, damn, was that bad?
I mean,
there's your answer.
Like, what am I supposed to do? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Kind of like a banner.
You fire
snatch
off at me again. If you can ask the question in one sentence, I'll answer it.
Okay. If the fans could determine who's going to do what in on the fly, and that was a regular thing, how would you feel?
I'm even confused by the question.
Yeah, I was confused. I had it all prepared, man.
You know, good luck coordinating that. I mean, it's just nonsense. It's like, I don't know, that Netflix movie. I don't know if you guys
Bandersnatch.
One where it's like you can. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. But when I was a kid, I went to a movie debut, or like they did a trial in only a few theaters in the country, where it was like a select your own adventure movie, and everybody in the theater selected their own adventure. And I always thought that was a really, really cool concept. But I gotta tell you, it's great when it's a cooperative thing between fans and wrestlers. They, you know, working together, being on the same page, singing and dancing the same songs, that's great. But why should they have to have any responsibility? You should just come to the show and it should just happen.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't have to think about anything. You should just sit down and just be like, oh, that was awesome.
Fair enough. No, that doesn't make sense to me.
We don't need a lot of thought or voting or, like, you know, contested things. But, you know, I always enjoyed the vote for the stipulation, you know, hardcore, false count anywhere. You know, we did that on a lot of house shows in WWE, and fans loved it. So, you know, if it's there's ways to do it.
No, that makes sense.
If you give them the right option.
No, that sorry it took so long, but that's why I was wanting to ask, because, you know, giving them a choice, but you don't want to give them too much of a choice, obviously, because it takes away the job that, you know, you're paid to do and you do well. Do you see what I'm saying? So thank you for that answer, for real.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, it's like, it's picking who wrestles who is just like, people always just make weird assumptions, and it's just,
don't know. There's just a lot of armchair booking, which is just.
Don't you just hate that? Don't you just hate people that always think they know everything about the business but have never done anything in the business?
Well, that's not where I come to it at all. That's not why I'm upset about it. And it doesn't even upset me. It just makes me sad for them. There's this thing it's called, what is it called? Erotic irony. And it's when you destroy something you love with your words, like where you just chop it up and destroy it instead of just, appreciating it for what it is, I guess. But my second theory on that is once the wrestling happens, it's for the fans to do whatever they want with it. So if what makes it fun for them is like giving it star ratings, then do that. If it makes you fun to like make fun of the guys, do that too, because that's hilarious. If you prefer to go online and tell all of them they did a good job, do that too. But one doesn't have more value than the other. The person who goes online after a match says, hey, great match, that tweet isn't really better than a tweet where the guy says, hey, your gear looks stupid. For me, those have equal value, which is the same, which is basically nothing.
Interesting, interesting. Good take.
So you're one of the few that have gotten to wrestle in some very, very unique venues across the world, from Tokyo Dome and Madison Square Garden to the VFW in Reseda for PWG. Do you have a specific venue that you really enjoy working in, or
Corican Hall?
Corican Hall. All right.
That's it for me. That's El Numero Uno.
Nice.
What is it about that place?
They just get it. They got it. They know it. They appreciate it. They understand what you're doing. It's where the language of wrestling is just universal. You don't need to even speak the same language for it to make sense. And it's a great venue where I feel like I put it. You put in a lot of work somewhere in a place, and people appreciate that work over time and watching you grow. And I feel like the place that's watched me grow quite a bit, and they value that in Japan. They value the hard work you put in. Just the last time I wrestled there, I really felt like that was the place. That was just a one of those eternal moments that it's just a forever moment for me.
Is there shall I say a difference? I did a little training in the ring. And one of the things that really stands out to me is the storytelling. And I know the Japanese audience really feeds off of the actual wrestling in-ring storytelling. Is there a difference now with the American audience being almost too social media savvy and too, we're going to pick on this guy or that guy and just not respecting the art of what you're trying to tell in the ring as compared to where the Japanese audience will watch it and give you that love for creating something great?
I don't know. I think if you do good stuff, people will be into it. I mean, I think fans have all the right to eat people up. I mean, when I first stepped onto the scene at IWA Mid-South, every single fan made fun of me. I looked them right in the eye, and they were just like, I'm a baby face. I put out my hand to shake my hand, and they were just like, spit on me, call me thumbtack because I was just not big enough. I'm telling you, because they could have whooped my ass, and but that's the point. Some people go to places and they'll tell you, hey, good job, or whatever, and that's really it might be fine, but when you're performing in places where the fans are forcing you to raise your standards because their standards are high, and people aren't going to accept bullshit. Like when you take an act to Philadelphia or New York, you better not have holes in it, and you have to be ready for that.
Yeah,
those some tough ass cities.
So I know you have your knee situation, which I believe you mentioned you're going to get that worked on pretty soon. But I know lately in the past, maybe a year, 2 years, you've been training down there in Tampa. How's it being a trainer for what's possibly the future?
Well, I mean, being a trainer is this insanely rewarding thing that I think I might be better at telling people how to wrestle than actually doing it myself, but I think I'm pretty good at wrestling. There's just, I learned so much stuff the hard way, and I've seen so much. I have theories that have been tested at the ground floor and at every level to see what works with crowds. And like, I love teaching new people, but my favorite thing is taking guys with raw talent and tightening them up and giving them technical steps and how to fill in the gaps in their game, where somebody might say, oh, hey, brother, you need to have more heat or you got to get more fire. It's like, that, what good does that, these empty words do anyone? So what I do is I put technical footwork, and I can show people the term, turn it into a physicality,
right?
Because it is all storytelling in the ring, and so you're making words, you're making art with your body, and you have to be able to. There's just special tricks that I know that you can only get if you've been around and done what I've done. And I love teaching people because I want to have more people to wrestle with, and by showing these, giving these kids skills, they're going to have skills to wrestle in a safe, efficient manner, work anybody anywhere, and that just makes more guys for me to wrestle. And I love that my friends have wrestling schools, and we're just, the level of athleticism is cascading. I mean, it's just going. And there was a time where I thought wrestling might not make it, you know, back in 2010 or 11,
right?
But my gosh, you know, we've got breath of life in us, and you know, God bless the young bucks. I mean, really,
yeah.
New Japan and all these guys for stepping up, Ring of Honor. So many places have stepped up. You know, even WWE reaching down and building grassroots efforts through, like, WWN and Evolve. And, you know, it's just, it's a special time to be in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. What is your...
Yeah, people can go online. They can find me on Instagram at Matt Sydal, MattSydal. And like I said, I have knee surgery on Thursday. You guys can go to my Pro Wrestling Tees shop and buy a shirt or something, because I'm going to be out for 3 months and don't have, you know, I mean, there's no work
right
when you're hurt.
Right.
Well, you got my purchase.
Math isn't that hard.
Right.
I take it you may be traveling a lot during that time. Wink, wink.
It's possible.
I know you do. I've seen. Obviously, I mean, you've traveled to some amazing places outside of wrestling in your personal life. I saw you were. Where'd you go? About a year or so. Was it Peru?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Peru a bunch last year, and I'll probably go a lot again this year, just depending on.
I've been to Peru too, man. It's beautiful.
How is it, like, you know, do you see, when you do your personal travels and you're away from the business and you go somewhere, do people kind of look at you as if they may think they know you or they do know you, and they're just, you know, kind of scared to say something?
I've been in the middle of the rainforest and been recognized. I mean, that's happened. But for the most part, nobody knows who I am, and who can, I mean, like, that's never been anything I've run into. All I see is when I travel all these places, I just feel bad about how fortunate my life's been, and just feel guilty about all these people and, you know, really tough situations, with really no options. And I just, you know, when you travel all over and all you see is the same hotel and the same arena, and the same is, and it's like you realize that, you know, the general population just doesn't have the same access to a lot of things that some of us do. And, you know, you travel enough places and you realize it's not just, you know, an American problem, or it's a universal thing. And I just sort of see I see things as more, you know, on a global scale than a country scale. So if you want to talk about my travels, you know, I'm always thinking, like, I definitely don't limit myself based on like country boundaries and all that stuff. So
in your personal travels, like I said, you've mentioned you were in the rainforest and everything. Where's one place that you really, really enjoyed going to? And if someone had the chance to go there, you would suggest that they go there?
Nah, this is what I think people should do. They should go to wherever they're getting called to. You know, that it's one of the cool things about travel is like it takes you other places. So you go to one place and it like connects you to another. And I think a lot of people, if they pay attention to the signs in their lives and things point them in certain directions and trust their instinct, go with their gut, they might end up in the place they're supposed to be.
So Matt, you have a very guru-esque philosophical kind of perspective on the world, and I really dig that. Has that fed into the new persona that you've been using in terms of, have you brought more of yourself now to the character at this point in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always been hard to find the words to express how I feel. You know, that's one of like the frustrations. That's kind of where violence comes from. You know, violence is the quest for identity. When you don't know who you are until you bump into something else to know you're this and that's that. And, you know, that has to happen. That's how we get to know ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, you know, part of me wrestling, like, and I'm saying stuff. Sometimes I'll cut a promo and it'll just be a pep talk to myself, but in reverse. You know, I'll accuse someone of a bunch of things that I wouldn't want to be. You know, you just finding a way to kind of get a collected meaning on the expressions I'm trying to put out there. And that's why I think Third Eye's really caught on. People get what I'm saying when I say that, and I mean what I say, that the answers are inside of you and all you have to do is look, and that just comes from a little bit of stillness.
Have you ever had any and this can be outside of the ring, but have you had any regrets looking back at things, or are you at the point where you feel like you are living life to the, you know, to whatever happens to the fullest, you know?
No, I'm ashamed of every single thing I've done. Like, I hate every match I've ever had. I mean, this is just, it's just the type of person I am. It's never been good enough. I'll put it to you this way. A gentleman by the name of Ray Phoenix, you might know him as like the best luchador ever. He said to me something, and he just said, siempre mejor, always better. And that's something that I have in common with him, and it just struck a chord. It's like, that's where I get my inspiration from. These guys are saying, always better, step it up, one more. Like, and it's not because you want to be a star. It's not because the rest of it is in us, and we have to get it out. And if we don't make it better, we suffer
right.
on the inside. Right. If what we do isn't better last week and is today, we're suffering on the inside. Like, it's not about winning the match or losing the match. It's about, were you better? You know, where was your mindset? Like, how, you know, what did you do that was no one else could do or no one else thought of? Or it's just, that's the mentality that I maintain. And it shouldn't keep me on top.
So, you know, with that, I got a question for you. You know, what is your future goals or aspirations, whether it be, you know, in the ring or outside of the ring? Because I think that's posed a very question, because you are very incisive.
I'd like to positively affect the lives of 1 billion people.
Awesome.
Kind of like how Cracker Barrel does.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you figure if you multiply it over time, now imagine if every meal they gave out was free.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be the kind of good I'd like to do. But, you know, I just... Just looking to, you know, kind of make myself. My goal is essentially to keep improving myself so that I can be better for other people.
Do you,
starting with the people closest to me,
starting with the people closest to me who you know, they're easy to neglect and forget about, and then working my way out till, you know, about 1 billion sounds about fair. But I think you're like, between the number of autographs I sent out, I write peace and love on every autograph. I've sent out millions of love notes, and like I've done a lot of labor towards it. So I feel like I'm well on my way to a billion.
Do you have any type of like charities or anything like that that you actively participate in?
I mean, yeah, there's a few. I don't do like fundraising, any personal fundraising projects.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like the Save a Foundation, which does like a surgery for people who are blind, and the surgery, it's for people in India who need a surgery to cure their blindness so they could see. The surgery is very cheap. It's just they don't have any money.
Wow.
And then one of my other favorites is MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies. And they are curing PTSD with their research. And they're the ones kind of in the media right now working to heal people through these, presently controlled substances. They're one of my favorites. And then there's this One Laptop Per Child, which is just an effort to get laptops to children and very remote parts of Africa, educate the village.
Wow. This is, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I think that I like the diversity.
Yeah, I just think, you know, the solution to everything is education. The more, you know, if we educate people, they can, you know, people tend to take care of themselves when you give them the right tools. You know, I think there's a lot of harmony that is possible.
Does that come from your parents being educators?
That's funny that, I think a lot of that is, you know, that was sort of the quality that was ingrained in my head was, service towards your education is something that no one can ever take, you know, no one can ever take your mind from you. You're in control of that. And, you know, you can have money or not have money. You can have, you know, but your knowledge is yours. Your wisdom is yours. Your experiences are yours. You know, that's, you know, ultimately all that really matters is, you know, you, yourself, your friends, your family, like just that kind of stuff. And I mean, you know, right now, like I'm sympathetic towards these teachers in L.A. that are on strike. And
mm-hmm.
It's absolutely outrageous to, you know, I've got a friend that's a high school teacher here in Florida, and it's just, it's shameful, and it's sad, and we just eat our children, and, you know, and then they eat them, they blame them, they feed them, you know, garbage, and then sell it back to them and tell them they're not good enough, and it's just, unfortunately, it would be very difficult to be a kid. I'm so sympathetic towards kids, like, oh my gosh. That's why I love them, that they have wrestling, you know. At least they got something worth doing. There's always wrestling.
I myself, and that's a very good point. I have decided I'm not going to have kids because I feel sorry for, you know, what is going on as it is right now. Has that ever been something that crept into you personally where you felt like maybe I don't want to like have a family or something, because maybe that your purpose is to actually, you know, maybe reach people and that's your legacy? Or do you see yourself having kids and maybe passing on some of this wisdom to them?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of believe that we're all brothers and sisters. So it, to me, it wouldn't matter if I was directly to my kids or just to everybody. But I you know, I'm a family man at heart, and that's sort of the life I enjoy, kind of simple. And I like kids, and I think the more good kids we can put into the world, like well-equipped, well-adjusted kids, I mean, they got to have some swords and shields ready to do battle. But that's the point of life. You know, it's not about having a life without suffering. Like for me, like I think I'm only better as a wrestler now because I've suffered so much more, you know, that I think it just brings and breathes character into you. And it comes out. I mean, it's very hard to put more into a look or more into a stare. It's somehow this accumulation of experience and suffering that you're able to then like reconfigure in yourself into like your energy and your power, and it becomes something that actually fuels you and makes you better. And it's sort of about letting it go and moving on with it. Because if you hold on to it, it kind of can hold you back. And so for me, that sort of letting go process, and, you know, if I ever say, oh, this doesn't mean anything to me, well, you know what I mean? In the moment, everything matters.
Right.
But things mm-hmm. can only happen one way. They happen the way they did, and they couldn't happen any other way. So there's no point in being upset about it. That's like that state of equanimity that I like to live in. But at the same time, yes, it does matter. Yes, I do care. And yeah, I'm going to be insane about this and yell at the referee. All that.
You just have to be able to accept things, man. I mean, and just, you know, try and move forward. Yeah, I get it.
Not looking forward either.
Living in the moment.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right. Just living.
Some of the before we finish up here, obviously, some of the greatest moments of Matt Sydal's career, or highlight reels that are used often a lot in certain video packages, would be the double shooting star press with you and Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most, I don't know how you two have synchronized this so well. Like, it's, I mean, I've never seen a tag team like synchronize a finisher so well. So that's awesome. I know, Meltzer always raved about that. Meltzer always raves about Matt Sydal's abs. I think he has a fetish for Sydal's abs. I don't even know how Matt has so many great abs. I may fetish over those. But also, you know, when this one spot happened, were you getting a lot of fans coming up to you and saying how great this was? And I'm talking about the shooting star press into the RKO on Raw. I mean, I know that's used in a lot of video packages. Do you get like a lot of tweets or questions when you meet fans these days about that one particular spot?
I mean, I guess it gets attention, but it's not like I sold a single shirt. I made a little RKO shirt, and you know, nobody bought it. Nobody cares. It's nice, but no big deal. For me, it's like that was just another Monday night. That's a piece of cake, you know. I'm glad it worked, and I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. Like, it made people jump out of their seats. But I'm trying to do that every single time. Like, you know what I mean? We're always looking to do, like, my goal every time. Like, I expect that to happen every single time where we catch people by surprise like that. You know, in my head, every time I go out there, I think I've got this idea that's going to work just that good. You know, that time we just caught everybody. But, you know that idea comes from the same place in my terrible ideas come from.
Matt Sydal, man, thank you for coming on the phone tonight, man, and chatting with us. We definitely appreciate it. We want to remember.
Yeah, and you can just PayPal me. You can just PayPal me for the, you know, for my time. It's been about 45 minutes. So yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very expensive. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we will definitely have our folks to visit your Instagram, which is at Matt Sydal. And again, you said the wrestling tees, they can go where to get that?
ProWrestlingTees.com.
Pro Wrestling, gotcha.
Matt Sydal.
Okay.
And then, if anybody's looking to get wrestling classes, I'm doing online, like, personal training for wrestling. It's best to email me, MattSydal@yahoo.com for that. I don't do podcasts. I don't do interviews, so don't hit me up about that stuff. But if you want to learn to wrestle, definitely hit me up.
Awesome.
We totally appreciate you at least doing this podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate it. 100%.
I didn't do this. That was the other guy.
Oh, the other guy.
For at least doing it, we will consider that PayPal request. I know a few people in Jacksonville starting a promotion who have a lot of money, so could probably try to send something over to you with that.
Hey, I'll fill out the W-9.
Matthew, thank you so much. Obviously, you and I will be speaking and seeing each other soon. A little spring training action and catch a game?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Blue Jays, right?
They're in Tampa, I guess so. Yeah, whoever's
Philly.
There.
We didn't watch the Phillies.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it could be a St. Louis Cardinals New York Yankees World Series this year. We need an easy victory. But
wow.
Thank you so much, dude, for doing this. Appreciate it so much. And I think that is it.
All right, peace.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Matt.